Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. I'm Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are so glad that you could join us here, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify or some other podcast platform. We really appreciate your tuning in and staying up to date with Connect Global and with the Mendozas. And we just wanted to say thank you so much for doing that. We are always excited to see your comments and hear some of the reviews and things like that on these platforms. So if you have a chance and you haven't already done that, please go ahead and rate and review the podcast. We really appreciate that. But we wanted to talk a little bit about kind of all the things that are going on with Connect Global. We're super busy right now. We're going into, if you're listening to this on the day it broadcasts, this is a very busy 2 weeks especially. We, in fact, just got back from Honduras, so you might have heard that podcast about the recap from the trip. We had a great time.
Yeah.
A lot of good things that happened there with the church at Asheville, and really still reports coming in. So we're still getting good pictures and great updates from the teachers and from some of the schools and partners that we have there. And then we are going into a couple of different conferences. We do a couple of different leadership and missions type conferences, church leaders. There's one in Michigan that we're headed to this week, and then when we get back from that, we will have one in Louisiana.
Yep.
So we're going to be flying in for that one as well, which is really great. And in fact, the church that we are going to be at in Louisiana, we talked about our next mission trip for 23, for next year, will be with this church, Revival Temple. They've been a really great partner with us. They've done some really great work through their church, both locally and internationally, which is really cool. It's really great to see that their church is always on the forefront of serving, helping, jumping in. I remember in particular, they had a flood one year, a really devastating flood. It got into the church, and the church was already being used as a shelter, but then the water breached the church as well. But they just, you know, took it and ran with it. They were buying sheetrock and plywood and all the supplies that they needed. They were rescuing people with their boats and driving down the flooded streets and just trying to get people to safety. And they're just, you know, that just epitomizes their daily activity. They are always looking out to find ways in which to save someone, serve someone, help others. And so they're a great inspiration. It's really cool to see that. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about what it takes sometimes to do that. You know, sometimes, like I said, in this flood, you know, they were already had turned the church into a facility to try and help the community, and then they got flooded. And so it was a very uncomfortable situation for them. I remember, Danielle, you and I got a chance to talk to Pastor Wes about some of the very specifics around that, and just the devastation that people were experiencing, and how he took it upon himself and the church to just be there for people, to just say, you know what, this is affecting all of us, it's affecting this church. You know, some churches might have just closed down and said, hey, we can't help, but they leaned into the mess and they leaned towards the tension and the struggle that other people were in and decided to help, even though it was really quite uncomfortable for them. And also, you know, that's life. You know, life happens really fast sometimes and things come at us. Both good and bad, but especially when tragedy or when things happen to us that we just weren't expecting, it can kind of throw us for a loop. And so I wanted to kind of just talk a little bit about how Danielle and I have gone through some hardships, have gone through some different things, but at the end of the day, we've chosen to continue this work, to continue the work here at Connect Global, you know, and just to kind of focus on not my comfort, but the comfort and the support and the, you know, inevitably the, you know, just sort of the betterment of someone else. And I know that for me, it's always been a very personal decision. It's always been something that was modeled for me. My parents, you know, they served, they gave, they were at church all the time and trying to find ways in which they could plug in and connect to people. My dad never, you know, met someone that he wasn't willing to give the shirt off his own back for. And so I know now as an adult what that costs and what, you know, the cost of giving and sometimes not even knowing if, you know, we'll have enough or have what we need to take care of our own family at times, feeling very uncomfortable, feeling very unqualified to do the work that we do, and yet we persist.
Yeah.
We keep going. And so I wanted to just kind of chat about that, Danielle, because I know that it's been tough at times for our family. It's been difficult. We've seen difficulties. We've, you know, in Honduras, especially as we lived there and we served there in some of those times. Maybe you can talk about some of the families that we, you know, processed hardships through and with, and the unglamorous, so to speak, you know, the parts that don't necessarily make the podcast, they don't necessarily always make the publications, but it's the real life stuff. It's the uncomfortable stuff that is kind of hard when a mother loses a child, or when, you know, something scary happens and you're just, you don't know what to do and you don't know what's going to happen. I remember even going back to the pandemic, you know, some of the things that we had going on then were unknown. Nobody knew what was happening. No one knew what was really going on, but somehow God helped us. He gave us the grace to do what we did, even though it was very uncomfortable. It was very weird and kind of, you know, awkward at times. So I wanted to see if you could share some of those moments.
Just to touch on, you know, one of the things you already said about not feeling qualified to do this sometimes. I think with all of the experience we've now had over the years of going into other countries and serving people, we have definitely learned that sometimes there's a shared sentiment from people that either we're going to help or people that help us get there. Who kind of create this opportunity for us to be able to go and serve and put in these water projects and have a ministry to, you know, postpartum mothers and to the education fund and all the things. Sometimes there's a shared sentiment that people express to us that is, they think we're special. They think that somehow we're different than they are. And we know we're not, and that's why we feel disqualified many times to do the type of work that we do. We don't feel like we have the right resources. We don't feel like we have enough resources. We feel like, you know, well, if so-and-so got this sort of passion that we have, then they would really crush it because they have this or they have that or they have the means to do this thing or that thing. But I think one of the things that we've just learned, over time is that the only thing that qualifies us to do this is that God says we are, and not only qualifies us in the way of we have a right to do it, but in the way of He's going to help us do it to where it's effective and to where it has impact and there's some meaning behind it.
That's good.
So we're not qualified still in the sense of, you know, yes, we have some certifications with aquaponics, and we, you know, we have our ordination and we have different things on paper that says we're qualified to do this. But I think that the true heart of the matter is that we know that God has asked us to do this. And so we're just being obedient to that calling. And we're not special, you know, we're not like super Christians or superhumans or super anything. The only difference in doing this work or not doing this work is ultimately a decision or a million.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have to re-decide to continue to do it over and over and over again. And it's the same for the givers as well, the ones who send us. You know, a lot of times there's people out there that think, well, it's easier for that family to give. Or, yeah, if I had those circumstances, then I would be generous too. But what we have found is that a lot of people that actually make this possible, they're giving because they've just decided that that's what they're going to do. That, you know, this is what they have read. This is what Scripture tells us to do. This is a part of our faith walk, trusting God with our finances, and doing good things in the world, and not just for the sake of doing good things, but again, obedience. And also, there are real needs in the world,
for
and
sure.
There is real purpose behind this.
For sure.
But ultimately, the difference between a giver and a non-giver is someone has just decided once or a million times to give.
Yep.
And that's the only difference. There's people who have, you know, what we would consider nothing, who have given to this organization and to this ministry. There's people who we would consider to have a lot who have given to this this ministry. But the common thread between the two is that they both decided to give. And so it's kind of the same thread with us. The only way that it makes it possible for us to pursue this calling and this mission and this passion is ultimately just a decision every day. And some days those decisions come easier than others, but there is a real reward in knowing that you're doing something that's making a difference in the world.
For sure.
And there's kind of, I've been seeing some things pop up recently about people talking about impact being either negative or positive, but it's not neutral. And so when you think about any impact you're having on the world is either negative or positive, but it's not neutral, that is a very interesting way to look at things. And if you start taking on that perspective, for me, it's made me even more engaged and excited to want to have a positive impact on the world. And so I think that that's just kind of one of the, you know, things that people can do to challenge themselves is, how are you having a positive impact in the world? What choices are you making today that are going to make a difference in the life of someone else? And ultimately knowing that it is actually true that you, when you give, you actually receive more. And so oftentimes the person giving is going to feel as blessed or even more blessed as the person receiving. And so it's just really cool how that cycle works, that you get to be blessed in the process of blessing other people. But with all of that comes moving outside of your comfort zone. And so it's not comfortable to step on other people's graves, to go and bury a precious 2-year-old who lost his fight with cancer. It's not comfortable to be in a position to where a mother is uncontrollably wailing on you because she just lost her 2-year-old to cancer. It's not comfortable to live in a country that doesn't have some creature comforts like AC and decent plumbing and hot showers, you know, but those are the surface things. Those are the ones that people can relate to easier. So sometimes we give more airtime to those things, but it's very uncomfortable to get down in the pit with someone. And it's very uncomfortable to walk alongside someone in their journey, especially when at the moment that you've met them in their journey, or the moment that their journey isn't just pleasant, you're still there. It's very it's very uncomfortable, and you're very much outside your comfort zone. But there's also so much depth of relationship that happens during those times. And so even though we've had the opportunity and we've taken the opportunity over and over and over again to be with people sitting in the pit and in the mud and in the mess, the outcome of that is authentic relationship, depth of relationship, you know, just complete selflessness at its core. And those are the things that really nothing can buy. That's the thing, that's one of the things that money can't buy. That's the thing that no material possession can replace. And so having those opportunities, choosing to have those opportunities, having people who have been there for us in the really hard and difficult seasons and times, I think is what has propelled us to keep entering into that level of relationship with people. And oftentimes when people hear that we do a lot of work in Honduras specifically, they immediately think that you have some sort of special connection there, and we don't. When we get a lot of blank stares as to why we do all of this type of work there in that country with no familial ties or connection or heritage. But to us, it was a no-brainer. It was one of the places in the world that we went where we saw there was a lot of need that existed. and we felt the move, you know, in our spirits and in our hearts, and we knew that we could make a difference. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part, is that, like you're saying, you know, there was no previous connection.
Right.
There was no lineage connection. There was no heritage or, you know, oh yeah, we've been to this place 100 times and now we've decided to stay.
Yeah.
It was literally just like we went there and saw that we could make some difference, we could do some things. And so we pursued that. We pursued trying to find solutions alongside our friends there, are the people that we've grown close to. We've just decided to say, hey, what's the need? What's going on? What have we tried before? What's going on? And through that process, you learn a lot. You know, I think one of the things that we always talk about is how Connect Global was formed out of just sort of like, let's meet a need. Let's meet this specific need. It happened to be the aquaponic systems where we're growing, you know, sort of sustainable gardens in a small closed format. But that was just a solution to a bigger problem. But it was just something that we could start with. It was something that we pursued and understood and figured out and got some information about. And the cool thing is that I always look back on some of those times where it's like, had we waited until we knew everything there was to know about hydroponics and growing aquaculture and different things, we may never have started. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about that this past week. It's like, if we waited until everything was funded or everything was right or everything made sense or everything was in its place, so to speak, a lot of the things that we've done so far would not have actually been done.
Right.
Because a lot of it was done by faith.
Most of it.
Yeah, 99% of it was done by faith, or it was done in a mode of, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to find the answers. We're going to come to the table together with the people who may know more than I do about this thing, and we're going to listen. You know, that's been one of the most, one of our most, you know, secret power skills has been to listen and to learn from those who've both gone before us, those who've experienced problems that we haven't experienced, and not just taking it at face value, but really digging in and digging deeper to find out, okay, well, what's the root problem of this? And as we've done that, we have grown. I know I have grown where it's been like, okay, I've gotten into this uncomfortable mode where I don't really know all the answers. I don't know a lot of the information that I'm trying to implement here. But in that process, I've found development. I've found that I have grown, that I've, by just not knowing the answers, it forces me into a mode of listening, learning, educating myself. And I think that's been one of the huge parts of, you know, what we've been able to do very successfully is to bring others into that process, bring others into, hey, you know what? I know it's uncomfortable to come on a mission trip to Honduras, but I promise if you get there and you get uncomfortable and it's a new language and it's a new culture and it's a new atmosphere that you've never been in before, but we give you sort of the guardrails to say, here's how you can serve, here's how you can work, you know, we can find a translator, we can do this, we can do that. I have seen it, we've seen it with our own two eyes, that we figure out very quickly that people will grow and they'll come up to something that they thought they couldn't do. You know, they'll either be, you know, doing something uncomfortable like preaching for the first time or giving a devotion in front of a bunch of people that they've never met or just eating a new food, you know, which then lends to an appreciation of culture and appreciation of people's, you know, where they're at. And then you start seeing people that have come, you know, time and time again with us, and they start learning the language a little bit better and they start getting more comfortable speaking in front of people. They get, you know, we've had people come in that, you know, work a very different job in the States, but they come in and now they're pouring concrete floors because we've learned that concrete floors are one of the biggest challenges to people who are living in a certain amount of poverty where they're getting illnesses, sickness, they're staying out of school, staying out of work. It can really affect a lot of different things. And just by putting in a very simple concrete floor to seal out the elements will literally change someone's life and their lifestyle dramatically enough to where, you know, studies have shown their IQ goes up, their work ability goes up, their attention at school goes up. They're not having to worry about stomach and, you know, borne illnesses, waterborne illnesses and different things. So they're now able to focus on the important things. They're able to focus on the things that they can change their circumstances around. And then the same thing happens with us when we bring people and we serve in a different way. You know, even if you serve at church already, or you volunteer at the food bank, or you go to Meals on Wheels, or you do other things in the community, which are amazing, great, beautiful things, getting out of your comfort zone, maybe, you know, stretching and doing, you know, a different type of serving, or serving in a different neighborhood than you are used to, or, you know, especially in this context, if you're coming to serve with us in Honduras at some point, that gets you to a place where hopefully you'll be more open to learn about someone else's plight. You'll learn about who they are. You'll appreciate what they've done. You know, and that's what I look at, is some of our friends who own businesses in Honduras, or, you know, are expanding and doing different things. I see the challenges that they've faced. I see the things that they've had to overcome. I see the things that they've done, you know, the conscious decisions to say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do things at an excellent level. And you see the fruit of that coming, but you can't imagine the challenges. You know, we talk about challenges here. We have poverty in the U.S. We have different neighborhoods and cities that, you know, are underserved or under-financed, and different things that are challenging as well. But you've got to understand that the world is a big place, and the scale for poverty goes beyond what most people will see in this country. Yeah. Most people will experience in the U.S. There's a whole other scale to that. And so that's the thing about being uncomfortable, being willing to put yourself, you know, the adage is, oh yeah, you can put yourself in someone else's shoes. The reality is you really can't, but you can walk alongside that person and your shoes can be in step with his shoes, but you're not going to really be in that person's circumstance. You haven't dealt with their childhood. You haven't dealt with their upbringing. You haven't dealt with their circumstances. So you can't really be in someone else's shoes, but your shoes can occupy the same space as them.
Yeah.
We can go and step on the same places that they step. We can go and step inside to their home and see the needs that they have. We can go and step into church with them and see where they serve and see how they live. And we can then find out that, you know, we all want the same things. We all want health. We all want, you know, to be able to take care of our families. We all want to be able to succeed at something. We all want to have, you know, money in the bank to feel like we have something of our own, and that, you know, we want to have shelter. There's some pretty basic things that all of us, no matter where you live, where you were brought up, how you were brought up, most of us all want very similar things. And so it's pretty cool when you have someone from two different worlds. You know, we bring people on mission teams all the time. Like I said at the top of the podcast, we're going to have our next trip in April of next year. We're going to be April 27th through May 3rd. And so we're looking forward to that. But there's so many more opportunities if you just reach out to us and let us know. There's ways in which we can serve both here in the U.S. and overseas as well, to get into that space where we're appreciating each other. We're understanding each other better. We're literally walking alongside someone who is our counterpart. You know, I remember we've also had teams come in that were doing rescue training, they were doing CPR training, they're first responders here in the U.S. that are now coming to give their expertise and experience to the families, the first responders that we have there in Honduras that we've met, that we've spent time with. I remember one of those occasions that they did a training on tourniquets and immediate first aid, and showing, you know, some of this infield trauma sort of first aid. And literally we got a story back 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after that training, the police unit, one of the police units in our city in La Ceiba, had been up in the mountains, had gotten into a firefight. There were some investigations that they were going on to go check out. And they started taking on gunfire. And one of the police officers was shot in the leg. And another female, you know, responding officer knew the training, had gone through the training, had seen how to put this tourniquet together, had never seen that before because of resources and just different, you know, lack of training that they may have had at that point, and was able to get that wound secure enough to bring him back out of the mountains, get him to the hospital, and they saved his life. And so it's one of those things where you get to see an instant transformation or an instant change or instant impact sometimes. And then you also have other times where we are bringing in teachers, educators, people who are investing in our school, and, you know, in the school programs that we have in Honduras, And so that investment that we're making in that first grader, you may not see a immediate impact. You know, you see a smile, you see them, you know, they're staying in school, they're not doing other things, they're not having to drop out of school when they get to fourth or fifth or sixth grade. They're continuing their education. But this is a longer term investment. This is something where we're looking at, you know, maybe they'll become a doctor, maybe they'll become an architect, maybe they'll become a homemaker, whatever they need to do to fulfill their purpose in life. But because you and I and partners of ours have come in and said, I'm going to intervene in this life. I'm going to make sure that they have what they need to go to school, whether it's tuition, books. This last week we had people donate computers, copier machines so that they could get the copies made for the kids, an air conditioner because one of the classrooms just has no AC, no airflow. And we take that for granted sometimes because in the U.S. a lot of times you have it everywhere. We wear sweaters most of the places.
Yeah, I'm always freezing.
Because we've acclimated and we're just like, okay, this is too cold. Like this AC is too cold. But in hot climates, in places in which electricity is exponentially more expensive, you just don't always get a chance to have that. So they were able to put in a brand new split unit, something that's energy efficient but still gets the room cool. And then those kids don't have one more thing that they have to worry about. They don't have one more thing draining their energy and draining their time. They can think about class and they can focus on school and their work. And that investment is a long-term investment. That's something where maybe in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years even, we may not see that return until they come back and they serve and they go with us, or they you know, become a doctor and then now come back and serve the community that they came from or something like that, where those stories are in the making.
Yeah,
you know, some of those stories, because we were uncomfortable, because we moved towards a problem that we saw and learned as much as we could about it and tried to implement some solutions. At some point, you're going to start seeing these stories come about where there someone's life was changed, or someone, you know, we impacted that, or because you gave or because you came with us, you're going to be able to start hearing the stories of people graduating and moving on. And, you know, and we just had a anniversary at the maternity home, and we're seeing 1 and 2 and 3 year old babies who are on the brink of death. They were literally given no chance to live, no chance to survive by the doctors. Essentially, literally, some of them were taken off of the life support in the NICU that they were on because they said they had zero viability. But we prayed, and our team prayed, and God moved and changed the circumstance. And we can call it a miracle, or we can call it, you know, circumstances out of our control. We can call it a medical miracle, whatever you want to say. But I know that it was God who intervened in that life. And sometimes it doesn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
But when it does, we totally give thanks to God. We appreciate that, because when we were serving dinner, or lunch, I guess, at the maternity home, and these 2 and 3 year old babies, kids who are now growing up, who had no chance to live, are swiping their hands through the cake and eating the icing, pulling the balloons literally off the wall, like pulling them off the wall, pulling the, you know, the curtain, the different things that we have on the elements on the table. I literally turned to the team and I said, we prayed for that. We prayed for those kids to survive. We prayed for them to thrive. We prayed for them to grow up. We prayed for them not to die. And here they are, terrorizing the living room at the maternity home. And so I told them, I said, so let's not get them to stop so quickly, because we need the reminders. The balloons falling off the wall and the cake smeared with their handprints, the drinks being spilled everywhere. Let those things serve us as reminders of the life that almost wasn't, of the life that we almost lost, of the baby that almost didn't make it. Those are our reminders, is when they're screaming at their mother, when we're trying to do an interview, when we're trying to do a presentation, we're trying to give away these awards, and the baby, this little guy, is screaming at his mom. Let that be our reminder that that's what we prayed for. We prayed that he would survive, that he would be here, that he would be, that his mother could leave our maternity home with him in his her hands and Jesus in her heart. And here we are. 3 years into that opening. On September 11th, so we're redeeming that day where we're literally saving lives every single day. And on September 11th every year, we get to celebrate one more year that God has brought this ministry into our hands to hold and to steward. And that's exciting. These are exciting times that would not have happened had Danielle, you and I not felt the overwhelming desire to be uncomfortable, to sit with someone on the floor, to sit with them and pray with them, to be there for them, to go through this process as we did Connect Global to figure out how are we going to fund this thing? How are we going to put this together? To the miracle that happened, to make it, you know, a possibility, to the daily struggle that it is to make sure that we have enough funding to pay these, our team members, our staff members, to make sure that we have enough funding to take care of diapers and wipes and formula and, maternity clothes and babies, onesies and different things, and to make sure that we have enough food to feed these now almost 1,800 mothers that have now come through our facility. It's a daily struggle. That's a daily investment that we're making, that one of these days, one of those babies is going to be 18 years old. And they're going to come back and they're going to be on, you know, whatever hologram podcast we have at that time. And they're going to say, my life was saved. My life, you know, God intervened. He had a different plan for me. He had a different purpose for me. And here I am telling you, you know, that you can do that too, that you can serve and you can give in this way. And to me, I think that's such a cool thing that just happened to be one of the miracles along the dusty road that we've taken to form and build and grow and expand Connect Global, that we've said, hey, we'll be uncomfortable. We'll be, you know, we've given up things, we've sacrificed, but mostly we've been obedient. We've just said, yes, Lord, we'll do this thing for you, God. And so along the way, we've seen all these different miracles because of us getting out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Had we just stayed comfortable in our job or in our home or in our this or that or whatever, it really would have been a different story. And so to me, I just thank God for you, Danielle, and I thank God for our kid, Sage, and I thank God for just all of the hundreds of people who've come along the way over these at least 11 years, but I know you and I have been traveling together for 18 years. But in these 11 years that Connect Global has been formed, hundreds of people have given, have sacrificed, have gone with us. And so I thank you too. I thank you for serving with us, going with us, changing lives with us, because we're truly unable to do this work without so many people trying and giving and sacrificing together to make this happen. And so I just thank you for that. I appreciate the opportunity it is to work with so many great people. And, you know, getting off the phone even just today before recording this podcast with one of our really great friends and partners, and, you know, just having the sentiment and feeling of 9 years, you know, with this person of friendship, of going, serving, being uncomfortable, the laughter, the jokes, the hard times, but walking alongside this friend of ours and he walking alongside us. Was a great and gentle reminder of what we're all called to do, which is to go and reach people where they're at as they take a step towards God, and as they, you know, maybe take a step towards faith, we're there for them. We're already, you know, we're there ready to accept them and bring them in. But to be Jesus and to be, you know, whoever it is that God wants us to be, so that we can be ready for that. So I think it does take getting out of your comfort zone. It takes getting into a mode of serving others and not myself first. And I think for me, like you touched on earlier, the gratitude part is that gratitude has always lent to more generosity. As I become, you know, as I take inventory and become more aware and make myself more aware of the things that I'm grateful for, the things that I have to have gratitude for, and the things that I've, you know, just wouldn't have otherwise, I then am propelled and pushed more towards even more generosity because I'm like, hey, somebody did this for me, or God did this for my life, or, you know, this changed because of whatever. As I take an accurate inventory of how many blessings and how many things have worked out for me, it really propels me towards more generosity towards others, because I want them to experience some of the things that I've experienced. And it's not all been easy, for sure. That's what this podcast, I feel like, is about the hardship and the hard parts of it and the discomfort of it all. But at the end of the day, at the end of the night, we can feel good because we're doing what we know God has asked us to do. We're doing it because not out of selfish ambition, but we're doing it out of a generosity and a gratitude in our own hearts. And then we're able to walk alongside others and see that in their life as well. We get to see that come out. So I'm really grateful to everyone who's given to make this possible. You can read more about what we're doing currently in the projects that we have coming up in the Connection magazine. That is a publication that we publish online every month. But if you want a hard copy, a physical copy, you can write us, email us, or send us a message somehow through the through our website and let us know, hey, I want a physical copy this month, and we'll be glad to mail you one of those. But check it out. We'll send the link in the bottom in the description of this podcast so that you can click to it very easily if you want to. And you'll see some updates from Danielle and I. You'll see some volunteers, contributions. So that's another thing that you can be, if you want to be interested in being a contributor to any of our the process here at Connect Global. You do not necessarily have to go to Honduras to volunteer with us.
Yeah.
You can volunteer right from where you're at in Tampa, in Walker, in Asheville, in New York, in Michigan, wherever you're listening to this podcast from. We have a way for which you can contribute and you can be a part of the ongoing support and success of Connect Global from right where you are. So if you want to be, if you're interested in volunteering with us and you want more information about that, please just send me an email. And we are just grateful for you taking a, you know, 40 minutes out of your day. If you're still listening to this podcast, we really appreciate it. But, you know, there's some other episodes that you may be interested in as well. So please check those out. And just, you know that we are praying for you. We love you. We care about you. And we are always here in case you need anything from us. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes. God bless you guys.
We appreciate you so much. Have a great week.